Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 28, did we say? That's Steelers-Dolphins Week, and it's coming up Sunday at Hard Rock Stadium, about the 10th different name that stadium's undergone in about the last 20 years. The Steelers take on the 1-4 Dolphins, Dave, and it's a banged-up Steelers team, but it certainly looks like there'll be four players back for this one in Robert Golden and Justin Gilbert in the secondary. Rosie Nix expected to make his season debut, and then one more I'm forgetting is Eli Rogers. It looks like he's going to be there, and a good thing Eli Rogers is there, because right now it looks like the Steelers only have two healthy receivers in AB and DHB, because Marcus Wheaton and Sammy Coates have yet to practice, and so they're the question marks here. None of the other injured guys are going to play. Shazier was limited. He's not going to play. All the other guys are going to be out. So it's the two receivers, I guess, that we're waiting on.
Yeah, and I guess we'll find out a little bit more about them here in about an hour or so when the final injury report gets released. Yeah, Sammy Coates, you know, after getting that finger or you know, hand laceration against the Jets, yeah, hasn't practiced yet, and you know, he is a second-year guy, but and not a rookie, but you would think that he's going to have to practice fully on Friday in order to get a helmet, you know, this weekend, and we'll see. I think a lot of people have, you know, are optimistic that will happen, but until it does happen, you know, we don't know. And even if he does practice, we don't know if he's shown enough readiness, as Mike Tomlin likes to say, you know, for him to get a helmet here. Marcus Wheaton, I didn't notice when he injured his shoulder the other day, but I mean, it's kept him out of practice the last 2 days. We'll see what happens with him on Friday.
Well, and obviously, I just assume this is the same thing he's been dealing with all year, ever since that New Orleans game. That's what kept him out at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I would assume the same thing. I mean, you know, the only thing he's been listed with, you know, all season has been that shoulder. Now, Eli Rogers has been able to practice fully the last 2 days, and Mike Tomlin talked about him, what was it, day before yesterday, and you know, has to show display readiness now that he's back on the football field. But it's hard to imagine that he won't dress, especially with these other guys banged up. And as long as he doesn't suffer a setback on Friday, should be good to go. As you mentioned, Marcus Gilbert, he's not going to play. Cameron Hayward, he's not going to play. Shamarco's not going to play. Cody Wallace is not going to play. It does look like Justin Gilbert, Robert Golden, Roosevelt Nix, we already mentioned Eli Rogers, going to play. Ryan Shazier was limited on Thursday after not practicing on Wednesday. With all that said, it's not sounding like he's going to play. So, you know, the inactive shouldn't be hard to pick out. Now we'll wait and see what happens on Saturday to see, you know, whether or not Kobe Hamilton gets called up from the practice squad. And if that indeed happens, we could have Shabazz going the other way, because you have all these guys that looks like coming back in the secondary. You know, you don't really need Shabazz, and if he's not going to dress, you might as well go ahead and waive him and see if you can get him back to the practice squad.
Yeah, that's exactly what the transaction would be. And you would think he'd be able to get back there. So, you know, hopefully not that big a deal. But, yeah, that's the question. They got to have four receivers. They won't go into this one with three. And you rightly pointed out they've got all sorts of DBs, so no big deal. And the big news really this week were the comments Keith Butler made yesterday on Steelers Nation Radio, and corroborated later then in the day by Artie Burns, is that Artie Burns is now basically a first-teamer. And it's supplanted Sean Davis, really, is what's happened in the nickel package. And Butler talked about it, Dave. You have the quotes up on your site. I played him on my show yesterday. He said basically maybe we gave Sean Davis a little bit too much. We've been asking him to do a couple different things. Young guy, he missed some time, obviously didn't play in the Kansas City game, And so Sean Davis is going to go back to being a safety is what it looks like. And maybe he gets on the field in dime packages, but I would think now his playing time is going to be significantly reduced. And you're going to see Artie Burns out there as a, you know, most of the time. And he'll, as you know, we've seen all along, he'll be the outside corner. William Gay will slide into the slot, and Robert Gold and Mike Mitchell will be the safeties. And now the question will be, you know, will there be a time here over the next month where Sean Davis supplants Robert Golden as the starting safety, and you have your first and second round picks on the field all the time? But this is, I think, a little bit of a surprise, Dave. You know, Sean Davis had some tackling issues early. It's always hard for us to perfectly assess, you know, when a guy has blown an assignment or, you know, didn't line up in the right place. Those things are much more difficult for any analyst or fan to recognize. But it sounds like there's been some of that, and now he's going to get a chance to watch it from the sidelines.
Yeah, and Butler was straight and to the point. He said he needs to get a little bit better. He went on to say we probably need to tone it down with him a little bit, that we're asking him to do, you know, pretty much too much. They need to get back to simplifying things with him and you know, try to get him back to being a one-position player. And, yeah, that's understandable. I mean, look, you have young guys coming into this defense. You put a lot on them, especially in his case, having to all of a sudden, you know, go from the second team, you know, slot guy behind Cinquez Golson early on in training camp to all of a sudden being the first team guy there due to injuries. And then, oh, yeah, we want you to learn safety as well, too. It just sounds like as they add more and more to this defense right now, that his head spinning and then, you know, not being on the field, you know, a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, you know, after kind of dinging his back up there in the game against the Eagles, seems like it you know, he got left behind on the train, you know, from the train a little bit there. So I guess not overly surprising. I mean, he's deemed a fairly smart kid from my understanding. But with that said, you keep stacking all this stuff up on players, and you know, sometimes you probably just have to take a step back and try to simplify it for them. So yeah, I'm guessing, and when you, as you said, when you couple all this in with what Artie Burns said, I'm guessing you're going to see William Gay in the slot in nickel, and Gay and Sean Davis kind of the slot guys when this team goes dime. And who knows how Justin Gilbert's going to fit in here as well, too. I mean, will we even see Sean Davis at all in the slot? You know, because they could get Justin Gilbert back, and, you know, he's been playing, what, 7, 8, 9 snaps or so when he's been dressed as well. So it'll be interesting to see what they do against the Dolphins. I think personnel on the other side of the football is going to really dictate this. This is a Miami team that we could see a lot of four wide receivers with, you know, because, I mean, let's face it, their tight end, their main tight end's not going to play this week. Their two backup tight ends really aren't much to have to deal with. So I think we could see a lot of four wide receiver sets from the Dolphins, and that could result in the Steelers rolling out those four corners as well.
Yeah, no question, and that'll be interesting in terms of how they work everything out and what they do. And again, it's the situation is different. You know, to see, you know, will it be four corners? Will it be dime? We'll just have to wait and see how it goes. So interesting, and I think, you know, Dave, you have to be impressed with what we've seen from Artie Burns here as he's come along. He's been able to cover receivers. You know, tackling is going to be the thing that he has to continue to work on. This is the reason he was a first round pick, and this step, you know, we'll mark this moment down, because Artie Burns, we would expect now for the next, you know, 4.5 years, will be a regular on the field. He'll be out there all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that you know, look, he's hit the field a little bit earlier than even I thought he would. Now, of course, the injury to Cinquez Golson, you know, didn't help things out there in training camp. You know, you see what happened kind of with Sean Davis. We already covered that. But, you know, look, they've gotten better about getting these early draft picks on the field, and that's happening with him now. Now, he did see a decrease in playing time this past week against the Jets, and, you know, that had to be situational. there, but he did.
Well, I mean, that was and Sean Davis got his spot back, and now you know, essentially they're flipping. So that, you know, that was it. They didn't, you know, Sean Davis was the nickel guy, and now he's not.
Yeah, and just looking at the charting notes here from that game, Burns only played in nickel and dime, obviously, in that game. And I think we got a film room coming up in, on him, if not already on the site. I know I cut up the gifts for that for Matthew Marksey. So look for that on the site here later on today. And yeah, I thought, you know, we thought he played good overall against the Jets, and definitely going to be interested to see him get these extra snaps against Miami. You would think it's going to be in base, which I haven't been obviously playing a lot of. It's going to be Gay on one side, Cockrell on the other. When they go nickel, you know, Burns are going to come in on the outside opposite Cockrell with Gay going inside there. But, you know, we've seen Vince Williams play a lot of snaps so far. So, you know, they haven't been really playing a ton of dime lately, and it'll be interesting to see if that changes against the Dolphins on Sunday.
Okay, so that sets up the defense, the offense. You know, Eli Rogers, it sounds like he's going to get his start back and be starting in this, get his spot back and be starting right in the slot this week. So, you know, that sets things up with DHB, Eli Rogers, and AB as your three receivers, and then we wait on the rest of it. Dave, other takeaways from things that have happened since the Tomlin presser, anything of note? I'm drawing a blank in terms of. We talked about Carlos Williams being added to the practice squad. Anything else?
Well, you know, there is some rumblings that Anthony Chiclow is going to start this week at left outside linebacker. Now, I don't know how much to read into that. You're going to still have the rotation outside, obviously, with Moats and all. But, I mean, Chiclow, let's face it, Chiclow played a nice game. I thought against the Jets, I think Mike Tomlin and Keith Butler pretty much said as much. Is this kind of a reward? You know, he's going home to Miami this week, along with obviously several other Steelers players, you know, on the roster as well. I found that kind of surprising, and you know, what does that say? You know, not so much maybe about Chiclow, but maybe about a guy like Arthur Moats.
Well, I think Arthur Moats is what he's been signed to be. He's a, you know, he's a good special teams player who's been asked to be a starting outside linebacker, which was never really the plan. He's a guy, if he had to start or play two or three games for you, you'd be perfectly content with it. I don't think he's played that poorly, but he, you know, he's never going to be a dominating type of guy. He's a high energy enthusiasm guy, but we, you know, we're not seeing him break down guys and get to the passer. We haven't seen that, you know, in the year and a half that he's been getting regular reps.
Yeah, I mean, look, and Chiclow, he, you know, he had his first career sack against the Jets there. I like the way he used that one arm. You know, David, one arms can be longer than two arms if you do it right. And that's exactly what Chiclow did on that pass rush that netted him the sack against the Jets. You know, we'll see. I mean, with these outside linebackers, I mean, if you look at the sacks that they have so far, not a whole heck of a lot of them. Not really high quality sacks either. And you know, when you have your leading sacker in Cameron Hayward out right now, for the next, you know, three, 4 weeks, we'll see how long that hamstring will keep him sidelined. You've got to start getting some more pressure, and you got to start getting some more sacks. I don't know if you saw the recent Justin 8 yards, you know, per passing attempt differential that I put up the other day. I'm going to continue harping on this number, on this defensive NEA number for the Steelers, David. It's and this is a team, remember, that's 4-1. I mean, and record is the best stat of all, obviously. You know, who cares what this stat is if you're going, you know, winning every week? But 6.67 is just, it's just not where it wants to be if you're looking at teams that are going to make a long run into playoffs. I mean, the history has shown us that this number needs to be at least a full point lower, talking about 5.67 at 6.67 now, and where a lot of that's going to have to come from. You know, look, we can easily point to the passing yards this team has given up, but we know we know sometimes we know a lot of times that straight passing yardage numbers allowed can be deceiving, because if you get up on teams, they're going to have to pass more if you're in prevent, this, that, and the other. But even so, they've given up net passing yards of 1,510. They've only had three interceptions, and they only have eight sacks so far. Now, obviously, they've compiled a few sacks in the last two games, but these sacks need to get up there, David, and these interceptions need to get up there. And if they do, you want to talk about an offense already averaging 30 points a game. Can you imagine, or close to 30 points a game, can you imagine if you start turning the football over in the opposition's end of the field, or you start getting some of these sacks on third downs and not letting these opposing possessions go, you know, six, seven, eight, nine plays, it's really going to make a difference here. So, yeah, I'm going to keep harping on this defense, and who knows? We'll see what happens with this change of Chickalo, if indeed it happens with him starting. I mean, you're still going to see the rotation, obviously, but I still have my concerns about this defense is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that's legit. I mean, look, we saw something in the second half against the Jets that was arguably their best half of the season. The game was certainly in doubt. The Jets only got 100 yards of total offense and no points. There's some questionable decision making by the Jets, maybe in terms of, you know, punting on fourth down. But the defense asked what it was, did what it was asked to do. So, you know, that's encouraging, and we'll see. As you know, they're getting guys back, but they're missing their two best players. I mean, there's no question about it. Coming into the season, 4 weeks into the season, doesn't matter when you ask the question, who are the Steelers' two best defensive players? The answer is Ryan Shazier and Cam Hayward. And, you know, I'm not sure it's close with anybody else. I mean, Mike Mitchell might be next on that list of guys, or Stephon Tuitt, but those are your two best defensive players. They're not going to play this week. Cam's not going to play next week. We'll see with Shazier, but see if they can get by. They did against the Jets. Good for them. Let's see them continue to do it.
Well, Vince Williams has played fantastic.
Yeah, he has played great. He's played, no doubt.
I mean,
no doubt.
And look, I mean, I think he, I don't know about you. Sometimes I don't know. I think he makes Lawrence Timmons a better player sometimes as well. But look, and that's not a knock against Ryan Shazier, because we all know how explosive Ryan Shazier is when he's on the field. I mean, he plays at a Pro Bowl level at times when he's on the field. It's just, he's not on the field a lot. You know, going back to what I asked you a few weeks ago, are you, if the season ended right now, are you still giving Ryan Shazier that fifth year option?
Yeah, you know, look, I think Ryan Shazier is a really good football player. If it can be, I've said it many times, he could be a defensive player of the year type player. I'm not going to bet on guys getting hurt. I'm not going to make a decision because a guy got hurt again. I'm not going to do it. So I don't know that the Steelers have proven it's not easy to find dynamic playmakers. So I'm not going to give one up because of his injury history.
Are you starting to get worried though about the games missed and it constantly being knee for the most part?
You know, I mean, look, do I think he's injury prone? No, I don't buy injury prone. And I don't think this happens because he doesn't weigh 250 pounds. So it is what it is. I mean, I don't know specifically the play. I don't remember specifically the play he got hurt on this time, but it's like Justin Gilbert with his ankle. You know, he's had ankle injuries. Well, some guy fell on his ankle this time. There's nothing you can do about that stuff. It's, if you're around piles and you're around big guys, occasionally it happens to guys. So, I'm not gonna do it for that reason.
It is, to me, getting a little bit concerning with the amount of games that he's missed. I think this is an ongoing knee problem of some sorts. Now he admitted, you know, we had the conversation the other day, right, about the narrative about rushing players back, and we both agreed that we didn't think that the Steelers rush players back, but do players rush themselves back too quick, and was that the case with Ryan Shazier this time?
Well, you know, he says so, you know, I'll take him at his word. You know, he's not gaining or losing anything, I don't think, by saying that. He said probably, you know, could have given it more time. I mean, look, like I said, then doctors have to rely on players at some level to be honest with them. So, Shazier came back, and it wasn't long into that game against the Eagles where, you know, he was dinged up. So that's why, you know, obviously he's not going this week, and maybe this would have been comparable to the Eagles week. We're never going to know exactly kind of where things are. But then the question is, you know, how do you play it next week if he's 90%? If he's 90% against New England, do you have him go, or do you say, okay, you know what, you get two more weeks, you'll be 100%. We got the second half of the season, good to go. So, you know, they're all difficult decisions, but there's no pattern to me that the Steelers are doing it wrong. Maybe Shazier's doing it wrong.
Yeah, quite possibly. What's your biggest concern right now with this defense? Is it the pass rush?
Yeah, it's, you know,
and it's been that too, right? I mean, we've talked about it for three years now.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking up a bunch of numbers yesterday to see if anything stood out. You know, the Steelers have 9 sacks. I think they're one of 7 or 8 teams that doesn't have double-digit sacks. Sacks are down, you know, around the league because quarterbacks are so focused on getting the ball out. And, you know, one of the things, well, the Steelers got 3 last week, and both Mike and Keith said, you know, probably could have had 5 or 6. They're right about that. But the difference was in that game, they got 10 hurries on and hits on Fitzpatrick. They were around him and hit him and hurried him, which was exactly the opposite of what they did to Carson Wentz. They didn't do it. Wentz got hit 3 times. He had 3 hits in the game. So it's not just sacks. If they're getting the pressure and hurrying guys, which I think they did against Dalton as well, then they're doing, you know, a lot of their job. You'd like the sacks. You'd like the interceptions. We're not seeing a lot of those. But I feel like they're making some progress in terms of getting pressure. And it'll be interesting against this team because, you know, again, I look at position groups and, you know, I've been concerned about some of the D-lines the Steelers have faced, that they did an A-plus job against the Jets offensive line. And the Steelers knew, you know, look, they were going to try and run the ball and be balanced, and they couldn't really run the ball. They just didn't, as Todd Haley said yesterday, they just didn't have the explosive play. They didn't have the big gain. And it was interesting that he commented on, you know, perimeter blocking being one of the keys to those things happening, wide receivers doing their job in the blocking game, and we'll get to that. But the point being that this position group for the Dolphins, these receivers, these are talented guys. And I'm not a Tannehill guy. I think he's an average quarterback at best, but he is mobile, and he does have some receivers. So, you know, containing these guys would be important. People will remember going back to that Saints game at Heinz Field, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, Kenny Stills just ran through that defense like it was, you know, warm butter, man. He had, I don't know what he had, 180 yards, 200 yards. I mean, he just killed him. So I'm a little bit nervous. I feel like if the Steelers lose this game, it's going to be because the Dolphins were able to throw and throw aggressively on them.
Well, they're obviously going to have to score some points in this game, you would think. I mean, if I worry about anything in this game, it's the pass rush of the difference in kind of the speed rushers here with the Dolphins being able to get after Roethlisberger. But on the flip side, and this kind of goes into kind of what Todd Haley had to say during his coordinator's corner session with Bob Labriola, was you know, they should be having more explosive runs. Now, the way Haley kind of worded this kind of had me confused, because this is his exact quote. I wanted to have a nice handful of 40-plus runs, and I think if we do that, have an explosive run, at least one a game, then we've got a chance to be really good. At first, I was thinking, does he consider an explosive run to be 40 yards or more? And I think I think what he's saying is he would like a handful of 40 or more explosive runs during a season. And his view of an explosive run, and there's always been a debate about what is an explosive, you know, look, we all know an explosive pass play is 20 yards or more. But what really is an explosive running play? And, you know, what are the odds, I guess, of getting, you know, you have more odds of getting an explosive play of 20 yards or more in the pass because you're throwing the football, right? Is an explosive running play 10 yards or more? And that's what I think kind of Todd Haley is viewing an explosive running play is 10 yards or more. Because, David, how many runs of 20 yards or more did the Steelers have so far this year? You probably noticed because you read the post. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm trying to just count them in my head. I mean, I know Bell had the long run against Kansas City, and they might not have another. I don't know that D'Angelo's had a couple good runs, but I don't know how many over 20 he had. I would guess randomly three.
You would be over. The price is wrong.
Yeah, so I the only one I remember is the one against Kansas City, so it wouldn't surprise me if they got a lot of 15 to 19-yard runs, but only one over 20.
That is the one and only was the Bell 44-yard run down the left side. Now, as far as runs of 10 yards or more, how many would you guess the Steelers have?
I know in that game, Bell had, you know, 15 and a 17-yarder. D'Angelo's had a bunch of them. What have they played, five games? I guess they're getting an average of three to four a game. So somewhere between maybe a little bit more. I guess 20.
Believe it or not, they don't have that many. They have roughly half that many, David. 11 through the first five games of runs of 10 yards or more, and Bell and D'Angelo Williams each have five so far. So,
and two of those were on long third downs that they didn't get the first down.
I will have to double check that, and I can do that during the show here. But hey, what is the secret of getting an explosive run in the NFL? Well, according to Todd Haley, as you mentioned, David, it's the perimeter blocking. He says it comes down to the receivers generally and them getting the job done. A lot of runs don't make it to the perimeter, so receivers have a tendency to relax and think this one isn't coming out either. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's out and to the second level, and you're out of position. So it's keeping those guys focused on their job, and when we're handing off the football, which is block on the perimeter defenders, because if you get those blocks, those are usually touchdown runs. So you're talking about a Miami Dolphins team so far this season that has given up on average 150.8 rushing yards per game. But then again, when you look at them by yards per carry, I think it's 4.1 with them, David, with yards per carry, per average that they've given up. Now, however, the Dolphins have given up 21 runs of 10 yards or more so far this season, and that's second most in the league. So run early and often, right?
Yeah, 150 yards per game leading the league. It's look, the Steelers should have their way with this Dolphins defense, because the other thing is, you remember he told us Rashad Jones, right? When we asked Armando, who was our good football player in the back seven, and he said Rashad Jones. Is that his name, Rashad Jones?
Right, safety Rashad Jones.
He said he's a really good football player, and he has not practiced this week. Armando actually tweeted when the injury report came out on Wednesday, you know, if he doesn't play, the Steelers could put up 40 on the Dolphins. So I think the Steelers are going to have their way with this Dolphins defense, as long as Ndamukong Suh doesn't, have a career game.
And they've got a couple, like I said, they've got a couple of guys that can obviously get after. I mean, that their front, and I'm not so much their front seven as much as kind of their front four, are guys that are some known commodities here. I mean, Mario Williams and Cameron Wake, are you kidding me? I mean, those guys can still get after the quarterback, and we know how disruptive Ndamukong Suh can be, and Jordan Phillips isn't a bad football player either. Now, they rotate in some players. That's why I think you need to wear these guys down with the running game. You just can't let them sit there and tee off on passes. You know, if you make them work to defend this run, I think that's going to help defending them against the pass. But golly, I mean, Mario Williams and Cameron Wake, it's going to be fun to see those guys go after tackles, Alejandro Villanueva and Chris Hubbard, because we lose. Do you think we have a false sense of security with the game that Hubbard played this past week?
Sorry, ask me that again. Do I have faults with how he played?
With Chris Hubbard, should we still be on our toes with Chris Hubbard?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. One game is not not a player make. He's not, yes.
I agree, and it'll be different to see him go from handling a guy like Muhammad Wilkerson, who I still think looked like he was wearing concrete shoes against the Steelers, to guys like Mario Williams and you know, Cameron Wake, to see how those guys possibly rotate and can get around the edge. So that's one of my main concerns, I think, in this game. The Steelers should be able to run on these guys. And as you said, Rashad Jones is out. It does not sound like Xavier Howard is going to play in this game either, David. He hasn't practiced. Byron Maxwell, how old is he? He's got to be close to your age, I think, right? I like Bobby McCain, a few backups they have there, but I mean, Ben Wickery, I mean, how much is he going to know and how much is he going to be able to play in this game? Tony Lippett is a wide receiver playing cornerback. We saw that in the game against the against the Bengals. When you look at him in the second level, outside of Kiko Alonso, not a much there. This is a team, in my opinion, that you run inside, you run the power, you run the split zone, did you watch? Not that Le'Veon Bell needs it, David, but did you see how much they used the rub with Jesse James in getting Le'Veon Bell kind of free in space in this game? Todd Haley did a great job with getting him free. And if this is and that's the best thing to use against cover two man, because if you're playing cover two and man underneath, you can rub these guys off all day underneath. And that's exactly what the Steelers did. And you're going to see teams play more cover two because they're wanting to defend, obviously, against Antonio Brown. So it really, right now with this offense, is damned if you do, damned if you don't. You want to play cover two? We're going to continue to rub you off with a tight end and just kill you with Le'Veon Bell paper cuts. And you know, that's kind of what we saw against the Jets. And to answer your question on third down runs of 10 yards or more, the Steelers have four of those so far, and David, you'd kind of be right there. Two of them came on third and extremely long, both against the Chiefs. One was a third and yep. One was third and 17, and
what was the
third and 29.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell got a lot of yards on both those carries, which padded his stat totals.
Yeah, 12 and 14 yards respectively. Didn't get a first down either. how aggravated do you – did you watch a little bit of that game last night, Denver-San Diego?
I watched a lot of it.
Nothing aggravates the stew out of me more than a quarterback throwing short of the chains on third down. And I'm not just talking – short of the change. I'm talking way short of the change. And we saw Simeon do that quite a bit in that game. Does that not just fire you up more than anything? Or do you have the thought process of, you know, you just live to fight another down or another possession?
I think, you know, it depends what you're running. If you're running a drag with Julian Edelman or AB and they're not playing kind of the Maginot line defense at the sticks, you know, I like to play if you get a kind of man-on-man situation. But if you throw it underneath the coverage where the guy has no chance, then, yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, you gotta take – so I guess it depends on the coverage and on who you're throwing to. But I certainly understand your point. And my point out of that game is – and I was talking about this on my show – is the Chargers are a much better team than their record indicates. I mean, they really honestly could be 6-0. The Wall Street Journal ran a story on them where in all four of their losses, they had a winning percentage at some point of the game, winning probability of 99.9%. That game against the Chiefs when they were up 27-10 in the fourth quarter with the ball, the game against the Saints when they were up two touchdowns inside 2-minute warning, those were both 99%. The other two were something like, one of them they were a high of 78%, and the other one they were a high of 90%. So in all four games, they were over, you know, 77% in the second half. And they said the odds of going 1-4, they won their other game. The odds of losing those four games were 1 in 30 million. And in fact, out of the 30 million simulations, 20 million times they win all four games. So the odds were pretty good that they'd win all four games. they lose all four. And then last night, I'm sure they were 99.9 again. And I was like, oh my gosh, if they blow this one, because they kept kicking field goals. And then all of a sudden, the Broncos had the ball on the Charger 10-yard line. You thought it might happen again, but they get the win. And again, things are really going the Steelers' way here early in the season in terms of what's going on in the AFC. If the Steelers win and the Patriots win on Sunday, they're going to have, I think, a two-game lead on the entire conference.
Wow.
What are the Broncos?
They 4-2, right?
Okay, so they won't have a two-game lead on the Broncos. But, you know, if Baltimore loses to the Giants and the Cincinnati loses to New England, the Steelers have a two-game lead on the division. And then the only other four-win team, well, the Raiders, I guess, could have four wins. All right, so I take it back. But they'll certainly have the Steelers could have a big lead on the division and a big lead on most of the conference.
And this has gotten – and I'm looking at the seating right now because this after I posted this on after the game the other day – it's kind of gotten shaken up a little bit here. Oakland is actually right now the number one seed according to the NFL. The season was to end right now, today, Oakland's number one, the Steelers number two, New England's number three, Houston number four, Denver, right now number five. Obviously, that includes them having a 4-2 record right now. And Baltimore is a sixth seed right now with a 3-2 record. So, yeah, if the Steelers win this week, I mean, you're going to need – yeah, they can't have a two-game lead here this early. Now,
yeah, so it'd be a nice position to be in. Hey, Steeler fans, you've heard us talking about Craig Oxane and mortgage rates because mortgage rates are near all-time lows. And if you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, or purchase a vacation home, or even refinance, call Craig Oxane from First Advantage Mortgage. The lifelong Steeler fan, a Pittsburgh native, Craig's a nationally recognized lender that loved the opportunity to help you out. You can call him at 866-772-0471. That's 866-772-0471, or you can apply online. Very easy to remember, blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399. Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. Dave, our buddy Mark Caboli broke a story today, reported a story that on Ryan Harris, which was all kind of all surprising to all of us, the way it was described as a hematoma and then a shin injury. Ryan Harris was in the hospital for an extended stay. The hematoma was bad and ugly, one Steeler player said, and he had to have surgery because it got infected to remove the dead infected area and drain the fluids. So obviously, I think the expectation is a full recovery, but not good news for him. And he's not going to be back this year. Now he's on a 2-year contract, so he might be back next year, but. That was an interesting piece of news that just came out this
morning. Yeah, he might, look, he is under contract for next year, but I think we kind of hit on this. Nothing's guaranteed with him next year, that's for sure. Now, he's a veteran, obviously, and I think you definitely want to bring him to camp. But, I mean, you talk about Gerald Hawkins and, I don't know, we'll see.
All three of these guys, Hubbard
you talk about these guys you got right now. I don't know. I mean, a lot of things can obviously change between now and then. But he didn't play very many snaps for the Steelers. That's for sure. Talking about Ryan Harris, talking about this Dolphins and kind of wrapping up a preview on them. This is a banged up bunch for sure. We talk about the Steelers being a banged up bunch. It sounds like they're going to get Brandon Albert back this week, though, at left tackle. It sounds like Laremy Tunsil, who evidently injured an ankle in a shower last week, they're going to get him back at left guard. But this is outside of Pouncey. I mean, Mike Pouncey. Their play on their offensive line has really been suspect. Now they could get Arian Foster back this week. But even so, he's been limited the last 2 days in practice. How much are you going to be able to run a guy like Arian Foster? We know Devontae Parker's a up and coming receiver. Jarvis Landry obviously is their big receiving threat. Kenny Stills, as you mentioned, boy, he had a field day against I believe it was Ike Taylor a few years ago in that game against the Saints. He obviously can get vertical here. Their quarterback is definitely suspect in Ryan Tannehill. Been sacked, what is it, 14, 17 times so far this season. If you want something to be scared of, it's their special teams, right? You know, with
good punt return guy.
Yeah, with Yakeem Grant. I mean, kick returner Yakeem Grant can really take one, can break one in a hurry. And Jarvis Landry on punt returns can get north south. You know, as long as you're not giving up these explosive plays to you know on returns, and giving the Dolphins good field position via you know turnovers or whatnot. I mean, there's absolutely no reason to think this shouldn't be a boat race, right?
Well, you know, you'd hope it isn't on the other side, but yeah, like I said, I think the Steelers will put up points and kind of however they want to.
I mean, how disappointed will you be if this is not a 20-point, you know, 20-point win? I mean, these are the type of teams, you know, right? These are the type of teams that you should just, I mean, you should take care of. I mean, and not just beat by 4 points on the scoreboard, right?
Well, you know, I don't. You know, things happen in football games. I, you know, win the game is, you know, primary. Look, they beat the score is going to look nice against the Jets, but they beat them by 18 points. But that game was not over in the fourth quarter. I mean, far from it. And you know, we go back to that play Vincent Dangerfield made on Forte. You know, you don't beat NFL teams by 20 points that often. So, I don't think the Dolphins are hapless. You know, maybe they get some things organized. Look, I think the Steelers should score a lot of points. I mean, ideally, you know, they win this game 30-10. But I think it's asking a lot to say if you don't, then you're disappointed.
And people know, look, I'm not a believer in that term, the trap game. And I believe in that more in college than I do in pro, because these are paid professionals here. And you know, any given Sunday, you know, how many times do we see upsets during a regular season week where a team was favored to win by, you know, 4 or 5 points and they lose? I mean, it happens, you know, and it happens in the NFL. So I'm not buying this whole trap game thing. You know, yes, you can point to Mike Tomlin's record and propensity to lose to teams with winning records when they play them, yada yada. But I mean, look, anything can happen. Two quick turnovers in a game by your offense can change the complexity of a game in a heartbeat. And you miss a field goal. I mean, look what happened to Denver against San Diego, right? I mean, San Diego was having problems punching the ball in the end zone. Denver was helping them by turning the football over in their own end. Denver missed a field goal attempt in this game, and even so, it came down to a last possession.
And they recovered an onside kick like it was the easiest thing in the world. And
right. So I mean, funny things happen can happen during football games, and yeah, you know, I think Ben was right to say you can't. You know, you got to go in. With a mentality that, you know, you can't have a letdown game. You know, if anybody heard his comments that he made during the week here, and make no mistake, the Steelers are going to be missing a few players this week on both sides of the football once again. But man, the Dolphins, when you look at them on tape, David, outside of maybe that pass rush of theirs, it's not pretty, you know.
What'd you think of Ben's Tomlin's response to Ben's comments? I'd give him an A+. I thought he handled it perfectly. He didn't dismiss it. He said Ben's earned the right to have an opinion on these things. It's constantly a point of conversation, although we can debate whether it is ever a point of conversation. But I thought Tomlin handled it really well.
Yeah, I did well, and I like the timeliness of it as well too. I mean, you know, Ben talked to the media on Tuesday and Wednesday, and Tomlin addressed. He normally doesn't do that on Wednesdays, right? I mean, does he have post practice sessions?
He can be available, but typically he's not.
You know, so that lets you know that I guess Bert or somebody said maybe this is a great time for you to have a media availability after practice on Wednesday here, because it kind of caught me surprised. And really, he was only asked a few things. He was asked about Eli Rogers, he was asked about the comments Ben made. So I like that. I think he went about it the right way. I liked his answers. Now, with that said, it seemed to me it's more like, okay, we're taking it under advisement, not so much as we're going to make changes as to what we're doing.
Oh no, he's not making any changes. This was for media consumption. But I thought it was very good.
Yeah, I did think it was good. I mean, and going back to kind of what Ben said, did you? I think a little bit of it might have been slanted to regular season practice, but did you take the bulk of what Ben had to say after going through the comments again as mostly related to training camp, or do you think Ben's saying, look, my guys don't like how physical these practices are, both during the during training camp and the regular season?
What's the question in terms of?
Do you think the gripe is the physicality of the practices, mostly during training camp and some in regular season, or do you think what do you think this is mostly slanted to?
I don't know. I think it's more regular season. I mean, why would guys be hearkening back to training camp when that's 8 weeks ago? So I think it probably has more to do with now and again.
Well, they only get 14 padded practices a year. So what are they saying? Are they saying that the non-padded practices are a little bit too physical?
Well, I don't know what they're saying, and I'm not sure anybody knows what they're saying, because everybody I've talked to is surprised by this, kind of caught off guard by it. Most people think that Ben's voicing somebody else's opinion, obviously. So the answer is I don't think anybody really knows. And I've talked to a bunch of people about it. So and most people are just surprised at the timing and everything else.
Is that something that's something I like to hear you kind of try to get a couple good questions out of with Tomlin on Tuesday, if you think about it, about.
Well, I think his view will be, I addressed it.
Yeah,
he's not going to sit around and play with this one for weeks to keep this debate alive.
Right, right. It'd be interesting. Let me ask you this. Do you think Ben will have anything more to say about it now?
Nope. I think it's done. I don't think you'll hear anything more. And I'd be shocked.
I guess that now that it's out in the open, I'm just more, David, I'm more curious of anything is how physical are these regular season practices? And I mean, look,
they're not that physical. I mean, they're not banging each other. They're running, they're playing hard, but they're not tackling each other. And they're not a ton of hitting on the O&D lines.
Then is it too many padded practices too soon? Do you think that maybe they're having, because look, I mean,
well, like I said, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows, because they're not having four padded practices a week.
No, they can't. I mean, you can only have 14 during the season, and CBA dictates that. So I don't know. I still wish Ben would have kept this, behind closed doors, but now that he hasn't and it's out, look, I don't hate him for it, but I am glad Tomlin handled it the way he is. There's dialogue there, and that's all you can ask for. And at this point, I don't think this should serve as a distraction for this week's game.
All right, let's move along to our picks for the week, as I get one up on you here with the Chargers last night.
Yeah, you did. I had Denver minus -3 there. Boy, they certainly – is this a team in trouble? I mean, they still got a good defense here, right? They're talking about the Broncos. I mean, they're not in trouble, are they? Even though it looks like Manny Sanders injured something in this game, and Trevor Siemian looked like a guy that you didn't know who he was, maybe.
Yeah, they're in a little bit of trouble for sure. I mean, they've looked awful the last 2 weeks. So if their defense isn't full out dominant, I don't know that they have enough offensively to be the team they were last year. So
and their defense was having to cover for their offense, turning that football over in that game as well too.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, they turned the ball over. You know, look, they did it a lot last year. The defense was unbelievable. So they're going to have to be somewhat similar, it looks like, right now, because that's not a good football team we saw last night.
All right, what do we got for some picks this week?
Let's kick it off with the Pats, 8.5. That's an interesting number. You don't often see lines between 8.5 and 9.5, so that's a bit unusual. Pats hosting the Bengals. Give me the Pats. Give me the Pats in a big win over the Bengals. And the Bengals reeling.
Boy, what does this say? You know, as I had talked about in that game, Bengals versus Dallas last week, it wasn't as close as what the scoreboard ended up saying at the end there. But man, the Bengals have got to be they're a better team than to get smoke checked by double digits by the Patriots, right? I don't know. We'll see. I give me those points. That's a lot of points to get the Bengals.
Giants -3 against the Ravens. Look, I don't think the Ravens are good. I don't love the Giants, but I figure their offense is going to get it together one of these weeks. Let's say they do it at home this week against the Ravens. So I'll lay the 3.
Oh, wow. You know, Baltimore's got a lot of injuries heading into this game as well. So I don't know what to do. This one's one I'm not going to play off the reservation either. Give me the Giants here.
Saints +2.5 at home against the Panthers. Give me the Saints. I think Carolina's done.
Boy, the defense can certainly keep you in games, but their offense right now, just talking about Carolina, is not in sync. I think the Saints can cover this one. So give me the Saints.
Jacksonville at Chicago. The Jags +1 on the road. I'll take the Jags and see if they make a little bit of a midseason run here toward the south.
I don't know what to do with this one either here. It is in Chicago, so because of that, give me Chicago to cover here.
All right, Bills -9 at home against the Niners. Colin Kaepernick's obviously the story, maybe the biggest story of the week, getting the start. I like the Bills a lot. I think Kaepernick will do better than Gabbard. Is that enough to make it an inside 10-point game? I don't know. I'll take – give me the Bills. I like the Bills.
Boy, what a turnaround the Bills have had since they fired the offensive coordinator, right? With that – look, San Francisco – is Chip Kelly going to make it through the rest of the full season, David?
He might. I don't know that his GM's going to make it. Trent Baalke might be gone.
Boy, I can see your boy getting cut loose here. Not another couple of losses, and I think it's.
I mean, the team sucks. I mean, if you fire him, you're just treading water. Everybody knew they were going to stink coming in.
Yeah, I don't think Kaepernick's enough here. Give me Buffalo to lay the points.
Rams getting 3 on the road with the Lions. This is a big game. These teams are. Detroit's 2-3. They finally won a game. The Rams finally lost a game. They're 3-2. It's going to be a big win for whoever loses. It's going to be a tough loss. Big win for whoever wins. Tough loss for whoever loses. I really like the Rams, but I'm going to take the Lions at home.
I am going to take the Lions at home as well, too. I think we like that front of the Rams. What else is there kind of like there right now, you know? Gurley, obviously, but I think Detroit is a team kind of built to play with the Rams. I think they're going to be able to go vertical in this game with Matthew Stafford. Give me Detroit to cover here.
Okay, Titans -7 at home against the Browns. I think Kessler's back at quarterback for Cleveland. He's played pretty well. I keep saying it. Cleveland's better than the average person thinks. Give me the Browns. 7's too many.
Boy, they just lost Joe Batonio this morning as well, too. Did you read that? You want to talk?
Yesterday.
Placed him on injured reserve. You want to talk about a team that's been really, really hit with injuries? It's the Browns this year. I don't think they have enough to hang in this game. So give me Tennessee later points.
Okay, Skins +2.5 against the Eagles. Skins are playing good football now. I like the Eagles, but I'm going to take the Skins till they lose. So give me the points at home.
I'm going to go with you on this one as well, too. I think that defense is going to be the difference in this game.
Raiders +1 against the Chiefs. Raiders at home. This is an odd one because if you were guessing the line, I guess most people, I'm guessing virtually everybody would have thought the Raiders would be favored. They were early in the week. The money's coming in on the Chiefs. This is a big divisional game. And again, you know, the Chiefs winning would help the Steelers, obviously, because the Steelers have beaten the Chiefs, and the Raiders are 4-1. So, but Dave, I think Oakland will do it at home. So give me the point.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one too. If Oakland wants to prove that they're for real in that division and can kind of walk away with it this year, that they have to win these divisional games, and I think they will. So I like what Carr is doing there this season. Crabtree, you just go down the list offensively, and they're getting some play out of the defense as well too. So give me Oakland to win this one outright.
Falcons plus 6. If they go into Denver and win, and then they go into Seattle and win, that would be awfully impressive. They got to have a letdown one of these weeks. So give me Seattle and their defense. Even though 6 is a little bit more than I'd like to be given, I'll take Seattle, and this will be the benchmark.
Yeah,
for the
and
Falcons.
I'm with you. I wrote about that in kind of my adjusted net yards article on Thursday there as well too. They're being carried by their offense. Their defensive NEA number is just absolutely horrible. I think Russell Wilson's going to exploit that. I think you're going to see the Falcons offense come back to earth a little bit, and I'm all over Seattle in this one as well with you.
Green Bay minus 4 against Dallas, exactly the same logic here. This will be the benchmark for the Cowboys. If they can go into Lambeau 425 and win that one, good on them. I don't see it happening, so give me the Packers.
I'm exactly with you for the same reason here as well too. Dallas and Dak Prescott have played well, but go beat a team like Green Bay in Green Bay, and I'll really start believing. So I'm with you. Give me Green Bay later points here.
This is such an unappealing game, as every game in this division is now. The Colts and the Texans. You know, I want to see the Texans receivers because they're fun to watch. It's occasionally fun to watch Andrew Luck, but my goodness, Brock Osweiler's been a disaster. Houston's laying 3. You know, what do you say about the Colts defense? I have no idea. I'll take the points this time.
Yeah, I want Indianapolis in this as well too. I just think give me the better quarterback here, and I think that's Andrew Luck. So I don't have a lot of confidence in this one because that offensive line can be bad. That Colts defense can be bad. If you got fantasy players for either one of these teams, play them because it should be. I think there could be some points in this one.
Cardinals minus 7.5 over the Jets. You know, I don't think, I'll just keep saying it, I don't think the Jets are a terrible football team, but they're banged up. Without Decker, they don't have a second threat in the passing game. Arizona's due to have if they're a good team, they're due to have a good game here sooner or later. So I guess I'll lay the points.
Yeah,
in this
Carson
one.
Palmer back. You're waiting for one of those complete games from Arizona, right? I mean, have we really kind of seen one of those yet? I think this is when they get one, and you know the Jets on the road are just free falling right now. They're injuries, everything. Give me Arizona to cover this one.
All right, Steeler fans, you've heard me talking about low mortgage rates, and if you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or refinance, you can contact Craig Oxane from First Advantage Mortgage. Craig's a lifelong Steeler fan. He's a Pittsburgh native, and he's a nationally recognized lender. He'd love the opportunity to help out our terrible podcast listeners. You can call Craig at 866-772-0471. That's 866-772-0471. Or you can apply online at blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551. NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. And that brings us to the Steelers and the Dolphins. Dave, I have 4 times used the score 30-20, and the Steelers have won all 4 of those games. And I one time used the score 31-17, and the Steelers got smoked. So I'm just going to roll on 30-20 here. I think the Steelers, you know what, I'll get off that. I'm going to go 35-17. We'll see if it comes back to bite me again. 35-17, I think the Steelers have a big day offensively. Maybe the Dolphins get a late touchdown. But as you said, I don't expect them to win by 20, but I do think they will roll. You know, I don't think I don't think it's fair to expect a team to win by 20, but I do think they roll in this one.
I think they do as well. My big concern is just don't turn the football over. You don't turn the football over. Look, we said the same thing though against the Eagles, but I have a lot of confidence in this team right now, more so than the offense than I do the defense. But I'm not a Tannehill fan, David. My favorite numbers growing up as a kid was 32 and 16. 16 because that's my birthday. 32 because it was Franco Harris in his number. And it's a weird number to predict, for a point score, both of them. But
you get the 32 you get on that first touchdown with the 2-point conversion. You can get there right away.
And 16, I think something funny happened. Who knows? Maybe the Dolphins scored 2 touchdowns and get a safety on Roethlisberger in this one, or something wacky happened like this. I had the Steelers going winning this one, 32-16 on the road. My bold prediction for the week: Artie Burns. 2 interceptions.
Oh gosh, okay, that is bold. we'll hold you to it.
We need to do this every week. Give me a bold prediction this week for
Le'Veon Bell more than 175 yards on the ground.
On the ground. That's not
yep.
Yeah, he might have 200 all purpose, right? I mean,
if he's got 175 on the ground, he's going to have 200 all purpose.
Definitely looking for a big game out of him. Okay, we'll be back at this on Monday, hopefully recapping a Steelers win. You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the show, go to SteelersDepot.com and find that donate button in the upper right navigational bar. David, have a great weekend. You're going to be watching this, or you got to do a remote this weekend, or you're going to be watching this one from the house or a bar?
I'm always doing a post game, so we're in studio for that. So I'll be in the studio. We'll be first half at home, second half in the studio. Charlie Batch and I post game right across the Steeler Radio Network. You can hear us from probably 4 to 7 on Sunday.
All right, get us out of here.
As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.